You are listening to Omnis Protocol. I am Charles, also known as Omnis, and I'm here with Nathan, or as many of you know him, Sooner5 from Discord and the TTS Leagues. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing really well. How's it going there?
It's good. I'm glad to talk some MCP with you. I haven't had you on the show. I always love bringing on new people. Not that you're like new to the community, but I just haven't had you on yet. But yeah, you did quite well in both of the TTS leagues so far, if I recall.
I did, yeah. So I was lucky enough to win it season one, and then season two, I made it to top four, and so pretty well.
Sweet, kicking ass. All right, well, I think we have an interesting topic for everyone today. What Nathan and I are going to do, we're going to go through each of the crises that we are currently have existing in the game, and we're going to give you some of our character suggestions that specifically help with that crisis. The idea being that if you've been playing games and your roster's struggling with a particular crisis, we're going to give you some characters. This is not affiliation-specific advice. This is just generally like these characters pull their weight more so than others in the specific crisis to try to help you, you know, fill out that roster or maybe cover a weakness. So Nathan and I are going to start with Gamma Wave. So for Gamma Wave, Nathan, who do you think is, who's your pick? Like who would you add to rosters for the wave?
Sure. So Gamma Wave is a fun one because obviously it's one of the most popular ones. It's, you know, brawling in the middle. There's a ton of people who are good. And I'm going to go ahead and start off the whole episode by saying I did not include MODOK in any of my character picks. And I only did that because MODOK is great in every, he could be the pick in every single one of them. So I didn't include him on any. How I kind of did it was I did kind of a top tier guys who I think are really good, and then maybe a sleeper that people wouldn't really think about that's good. So, you know, Gamma Waves, I think the first kind of top tier you got to think about is, of course, Shuri.
Absolutely.
Pushes whoever she wants off unless you got terrain blocking it. And then, of course, just gives out those rerolls nonstop. I mean, she's pretty phenomenal in Gamma Waves.
Yeah, I would say she's borderline essential. Like, when I test Gamma Waves, I find it extremely difficult to have teams that compete at the highest level on that crisis without Shuri. That's one of the situations I'm like, man, Shuri, that's like her crisis in a lot of ways.
Yeah, she loves it. I mean, I think you either have to have Shuri or you have to have a plan or someone who can get back and kill Shuri very quickly.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I did not restrict myself to not saying MODOK at all, because I'm not quite as much on the MODOK train as some people. I think there are definitely some crises where I would not bring him, but yeah. I think this is one that, like, if I were going to play a team on Gamma Waves that did not have Shuri, it would probably have MODOK. It would probably be the one time where I'm like, this is the one team that might be able to pull it out, is probably a MODOK team. And I mean, there's a lot of rosters. I mean, you couldn't go wrong with those two characters. I mean, we have some spicier answers for you as well, but I think both of those two are kind of your solid go-tos for Gamma Wave. But Nathan, who's your sleeper for Gamma Wave?
So my sleeper is a pair, but I kind of put them together, and that is actually Rocket and Groot. Rocket is another guy who loves Gamma Waves. He can just sit back and double tap people, and, you know, to kill them, they got to actually make an effort to get back there and kill them. But the reason I like them together is Groot, of course, can just take a beating. So he can get up into that middle of the Gamma Waves and just take a beating and attack. And Deadly Duo is just phenomenal on Gamma Waves. I mean, phenomenal. That card, you use it basically round two. And, I mean, you're shooting their three best characters and then shooting two more times.
Oh, I agree. I actually had Groot as my sleeper pick, but for like completely different reasons. Uh-huh. I felt like when I play Gamma Wave, tons of damage gets spread around really quickly. And I feel like it's one of the most optimal situations to use We Are Groot, because like the ability to like, it's so easy in that crisis to have lots of damage spread around on all of your characters. That just happens. And so it's super easy to get off a We Are Groot and kind of like refill your team and just like top people off and get a lot of work out of that. And if he's a character who's getting tossed around, he can usually like recover from that better. So I like Groot. He's a cheap, really effective piece in that crisis. But since you already said him, I'm going to say my sleeper was, well, as I think this is one of the situations where you can get a lot of use out of Thanos. Man, does him like him with a Mind Stone in this crisis, especially if you find that you're playing on Gamma Wave and you're playing it at a slightly higher threat level, almost any team can like make some really scary use out of Thanos when he can just all of a sudden like walk forward and be like, Cosmic Portal, you away, Mind Stone, you away. And sometimes when he's loaded, I'll like Mind Stone someone and then I will Cosmic Portal them again and put them on the other side of like a truck or something. Because like, That short template, the range S, or sorry, like the range 2, it's longer than the width of a garbage truck. And so if you push someone with Mind Stone all the way up against it, you can then teleport them to the other side of it.
Nice. Well, not to mention his attack. I mean, you hit that wild, you're just throwing people in. You know, it's the same reason Thor's good in Gamma. You just throw those people into other characters over and over.
Yeah, and a lot of time, once the first turn is passed, it's really easy for him to just at some point just like walk into the middle, punch someone, get 2 power to like either Cosmic Portal one of your characters back into position. Like if someone did a Shuri push or something, push them away, you can like reverse that push and just be like, well, I'm just putting this guy back now. And you know, like the more power he has, just the more he does in that crisis. So I like him a lot.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, so that's Gamma Wave. That's a critical one. You're going to play that a lot. But let's do the other 15 threat. Wakandan Herbs. I'm going to lead on this one. I've got a new kind of spicy pick right off the top for this one. Because I will tell you, first off, I do not think playing for scoring the herb is a good plan. I think it is actually awful. This is a brawly crisis. You play this to brawl it out. And maybe you have a plan that's like, if they don't pay close enough attention to certain characters, then you go and try to score the herb, like if they activate Shuri too early or something. But I think the new one that just got announced this week, Ghost Rider, is going to be crazy good in herbs because he loves making attacks and he can do a medium and use his superpower for a long move in the same turn. So he can just all of a sudden, if they're not watching for it and ready to deal with Ghost Rider, he can at a moment's notice be ready to score that. And he does not mind having an herb for extra damage and just smack people. And he doesn't care that he can only move once. Yeah, so no, Ghost Rider.
I like that a lot. That's a really good one. I didn't think that far in advance. Since he was spoiled today, but no, that's an absolutely great one. He also has range 3 on his attack, so he can kind of stay away a little bit. No, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think he, like, if he just is already in your roster and, like, someone throws Wakandan Herbs at you, I just like that he's going to be able to, he wants to brawl, he wants that brawly crisis, but at any point, if you activate all your characters that have a way to push or throw him, boom, he'll just book it over there and score. And so, you don't have to plan for that, you're just, like, kind of threatening it to your opponent all the time. Like, if you don't save Shuri, I'll go score. And it just can put him in an awkward spot. So I like Ghost Rider a lot there. All right, who's your pick?
So my pick is Miles. I really like Miles. And I went a little different than you. I went trying to actually get the herb and score it, which we all know does not happen often. But I think Miles is really good. You know, he can do his little movement to get up there for an extra movement. So once he picks up the herb, he can move 3 away. He's got stealth, so you know, people aren't going to be able to kill him as easily. He's got spider sense again, so he's a little harder to kill, even at 5 stamina. And, you know, next turn he can, you know, do his little range 3 move back towards the herbs. And I think he's a good one to have the herb.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think kind of across the board, I actually had him as one of my picks as well, just because one, with that web line, he can like also do kind of the same thing we were talking about with Ghost Rider, where if you're not prepared for it, he can just hop over there. And because he has stealth, he's a lot harder to move around. And so he's one that you have to constantly be playing around more so than other characters.
Yeah, you got to really be careful if Miles is across the table on herbs.
All right, well, so my more like sleeper pick that I think goes under the radar is I like Wasp for this crisis. I know she hasn't gotten a ton of love, but once you have a crisis where she does not have to care about an extract at all, so her like main disadvantage is off the table, so you can just have this stealthy character that can deal damage and deny power generation and have a bunch of rerolls, I think Wasp is one that will excel on this crisis, because like her whole penalty is kind of off the table. So
yeah,
if you're a Wasp fan, I could see this for sure.
Sure. My sleeper I went with is it's really kind of the same vein as Miles, and that's Hawkeye. Unfortunately, he's not near survivable, but he's got the hook shot, so he can move three. He also will be able to almost always get a shot off because he's range five and that extra dice he likes. So I think Hawkeye's a pretty good guy also to try to get that herb.
Yeah, and if Shuri goes to push him away, she's got to take a six dice shot to the face.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's why he again, with Miles and him, they both have kind of some set in defense to range attacks that may try to kill him to get the herb.
No, I dig it. I think that's a good call. All right, so let's talk about Cosmic Invasion. This is one of the ones that popped up with came in Thanos, if I recall.
Yes,
so the setup, not as many people have played on this one. What would you say is your first pick for Cosmic Invasion?
Well, it's funny because I had him on, I think I've picked him twice, and we went back to back with him, but I put Miles again. I think Miles is always starved for power. I like it that if he does get pushed off, he can just basically webline right back to there, attack with the extra dice, with the extra power he just got. I think he's a good 3-point character that you can slot in on Vault.
I like it. I picked Valkyrie as one of my go-tos for this crisis because the push is going to have a little less impact on her because she can often just charge right back into the position that she wanted. And so if she's battling with someone for that specific like crisis location, she's not really penalized by it. She can absolutely always make use of two extra power. And she, like a lot of the time, her coolest move is to just double move and throw someone. Yeah. And so this crisis does not hinder her really in just about any way. And it kind of raises her defenses because all those ranged attackers are going to struggle with her more because they're going to be further away. I think Valkyrie's always a solid pick, but I think this is one where she really performs above her 3 threat level.
Yeah, I agree. I have a very spicy take for the sleeper.
Okay.
And that is Crossbones. Yes, I said Crossbones.
Okay.
He's a guy, so, you know, with the vault, to push, you have to push away. So what you can do is one of Crossbones' biggest weaknesses is his speed. He likes power, so he can throw more haymakers and more damage. So if you can place him away from the scenario objective in a way that if he gets pushed, it's almost like an extra movement from him. It actually, instead of almost being a hindrance, sometimes it could be a positive. And plus, he has range 3 attack, so he could still attack whoever's sitting on the objective, even if you push him away.
Yeah, I mean, that's a totally reasonable pick. That even crossed my mind.
I wanted to go spicy with it.
Oh, so. Yeah. I don't blame you at all, man. Got to get a little Crossbones action in there.
Yep.
I wanted to also throw out Hawkeye. I know you had mentioned this one on herbs, but I also like him for Invasion. He doesn't make use of the extra power quite as well as some characters, but it can certainly round things out for him to like have some really cool plays. And his ability to just webline back into place can totally just negate the penalty from that. And he's one of the few characters that can really reliably just like walk forward, shoot, webline back. And yes, it's so easy for him to do that. He doesn't suffer nearly as much penalty from this crisis as other characters do. And he's only 3 threat. So you can fit him into a lot of teams. So I like him. Yeah. I like him for that one.
Yeah. And I just want to tell the listeners, we keep saying it wrong. We keep saying webline. It's web swing is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Range 3. So don't want to confuse anybody.
No, webline is Spider-Man and Gwen when they pull someone in.
Absolutely.
So many web abilities. Web pulled, web.
Oh, I know.
Got a lot of them.
Trying to keep them memorized is the hardest part of the game.
Makes sense. All right, well, let's hop over to Infinity Formula. One, on the subject of the spiders, because of the nature of Infinity Formula, like cranking up power generation, yeah, every character loves bonus power, but Venom, I think more so than most characters, man, when he gets extra power, he gets so ridiculous so fast, and with the spacing of Infinity Formula, Venom is just a really solid character. When he's going one-to-one, like with almost anyone, like he wins a lot of matchups, and with his ability to web snare people at that range four, like, and pulls him a medium, man, he gets people so crazy out of position, and his ability to like double move and like, you know, cling to our rage and throw someone off, like venom on that crisis just can feel ridiculous at times. So he's one of my go-tos there. Who do you have for Formula?
Yeah, I like that pick. Thor. I think Thor is, you know, he's obviously probably the most splashable character in the game. I mean, he has played a ton, but I mean, he just loves Infinity Formula. He loves the power. He can just go back and forth from each actual Infinity Formula, just for Asgarding, killing something else the next turn if he needs to, for Asgarding to the other one. Obviously, his throw, he can throw you off the Infinity Formula. He's a very good character and very good in that scenario.
I'm on board. My spicier pick for this one is, I think this is a great spot for Green Goblin. I mean, he can synergize with the Venom that I already suggested. There's obviously Venom drop-off synergy there. But I like the fact that he also threatens characters that come at him when they try to come and, like, say you got to play with, like, Loki or something who's going to double move and try to, like, walk people off the crisis. I like the fact that he can just, like, oh, you're going to walk up? Well, trick or treat. And he can blow people up during their own turns. He can make some of those plays a little crazier. And he is a power-starved character. And so when he starts, like, generating that extra power, I think that that helps him quite a bit. And so I think Green Goblin will catch people off guard in that one.
Yeah, that's a good pick. My sleeper is, again, Groot. loves Infinity Formula. I really do. I've been playing Guardians lately, and he is so good in that one. He's another guy who's very power starved. He's a guy that you're basically going to take and you're just going to put on your opponent's Infinity Formula and say, okay, get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
And it's very, very difficult. Infinity Formula, usually by about round three, if you want, you can get an I Am a Groot off because of the extra power. He's been very good for me in Infinity Formula. I think he's a sleeper that people don't think about in that scenario.
I agree. I would say the one thing I'd be cautious of, that crisis attracts a lot of energy attackers, so just be very careful with where you put him. But in general, whenever he's getting extra power, he's really solid.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's talk about Deadly Meteors. This is one of my favorite crises right now. I'm playing it a ton. I play Asgard a lot. Deadly Meteors is, in my mind, like the sleeper crisis that people could be just using to, like, crush people. But who's your pick? Like, what's your number one for Deadly Meteors?
I mean, who else in Meteors? Thor. I mean, he's the god of thunder on Meteors. I mean, he is... That is, it's almost like they wrote that scenario for him. I mean, for energy, he throws people away. He can four Asgard back and forth to Meteors. I mean, he's just insanely good on that one.
Agreed. I have a video up on YouTube playing Asgard in this one. Like, obviously, all the Asgardians are great. My first pick is the Reality Stone. Anyone can bring the Reality Stone or the Reality Gem for this crisis, because not only does it, like, shift your odds, like, you'd have, like, 5 out of 8 is your chance to get a success, essentially, with that, and it decreases the odds of you taking damage, so it makes a character like Thanos or Corvus, makes their chance of taking damage from it really low, and it gives them a way above average chance to succeed. And so if you can't squeeze in an Asgardian, I think, like, being able to take one of those characters, it still gets you that extra power generation, which I think is crucial for Deadly Meteors, because a lot of times you have a character that needs to pick up an extract and interact.
Yeah.
And so Reality Gem, so good in that one.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
Who are you going for spiciness?
All right, so my spiciness is people. He's a very good character, but people a lot of times don't think about him for Meteors because he only has 2 energy defense, but that's Vision. Vision is very good on Meteors. I mean, you put him on an outside Meteor and, you know, you say, well, how's he going to flip it? He only has 2. well, he's got a throw that only cost him two. So basically you just throw whoever's on the meteor off, and then you try to flip it with your two energy, and then the rest of his kit is just phenomenal. I mean, who doesn't love beams on Meteor? He is a power-generating animal. He's tough to kill. He can't be pushed if you want to make him where he can't be pushed off the Meteor. He has a wonderful kit for Meteors other than his two energy defense, so I think some people write him off, but he is very good at Meteors.
All right, so I mean, I could list off like every Asgardian, but I don't think that's necessary. My other pick, if I was going to pick someone who does not instinctively generate two power, I think Ronan is a great pick for this crisis. He does have that four energy defense, and he can fit into almost any roster. I don't think any affiliation wouldn't mind having Ronan. And when people start going like a lot of picks are like, man, once you start getting behind on Meteors, they're like, I need to like KO some people. And man, he just starts messing up that math really quickly, like judging a character. Suddenly you don't get power from those attacks and everyone's all mixed up. And if someone tries to like go after Ronan, it's really easy for him to just like knock them away. Like even if he doesn't use his Kree Justice, he can still end up just being like, all right, well, after your action, like I'll just smack you away and now you're out of position.
Yeah, he's a great pick.
Yeah, it's when someone's like, I'm going to interact at the end of my turn, and then they daze Ronan, and you're like, all right, well, I'll just like throw you away now. And now at the end of their activation, they can't interact. Oh, that's the best.
Yeah, I mean, Meteors love characters who can throw and push. And, you know, he's got a throw and a push on two different attacks. So, I mean, he's a wonderful pick for Meteors.
And throw during your opponent's turn, potentially. Oh, it's so scary. Okay, let's talk about Extremis consoles now. Obviously, this is one of the originals, and this is kind of a go-to. I have a few different ideas, but I thought I wanted to throw something out that I don't think people like suspect quite as much. I think Loki plus Mind Gem is really good on Extremis consoles in a way that people may not expect. Loki will often generate extra power, and his health, like his stamina, when he can recoup a little bit, because often he'll get like kind of nickel and dimed, and if he has chances to like build that like that stamina back up, that can be really tough to deal with. And he is totally happy like late in a round, suddenly like double moving, walking someone off their own console so that he can control it, and then being like, all right, now all the characters are stuck in my aura, suck it.
Yeah.
I think Loki will surprise people how good he can be in this one. So
sure.
All right, man, what's your pick?
I thought Black Panther, man. I think he's phenomenal. Extremis is almost made for him. I mean, he's tanky. He's got a long move. He's got a pounce. He pushes people off. He can do damage. I mean, Black Panther's phenomenal in Extremis.
I mean, you don't have to sell me hard on Black Panther. You'd say Black Panther is amazing in blank, and I agree with you 100%.
He's your boy, right? Yeah.
I would say I love Black Panther as much as Pat loves MODOK. Like, I'm in love with that character. I never regret taking him.
Yeah.
So, Extremis console. I'm also going to say this is another one where I think Thor will surprise the hell out of people. His ability to double move and throw people, or like move for Asgard and then still end up with another throw. Like he can, oh, you have two people on that point. Great. He moves, he for Asgards, he gets some power and throws you off of it. He throws the other guy off of it. He can end up with multiple characters out of position. And if Thor is kind of like camping a spot, he does have a range 5 ranged attack, which people often forget about. He can often like get into a weird position where he'll like, just, oh, I'll just hammer that one guy, and now they're shocked. So enjoy that. And when he's not just going all out, he often has the extra power to like heal himself up. And that's a character, when he's healing, nobody likes it. Nobody likes Thor healing.
So. Yeah, no, I played Asgard in the last season, and I really enjoyed playing them on Extremis. And yeah, Thor was fantastic out there.
Makes sense. All right, who's your next one?
All right, so this one is I got to explain it real quick, and it's Valkyrie, but it's not for the reason most people think. It's Valkyrie sitting on your own objective, and most people are like, well, why would you want Valkyrie sitting on your own objective? And what they don't realize is she needs a touch of help, when she's sitting back there. But if you have a character like a MODOK or a Thor or anybody with a throw, and they are on one of the flanks, what you can do is you activate Valkyrie Last. She's on range one, as far as she can away from your home Extremis console. And you just have MODOK or you have Thor go, and then they will actually throw or move that character just a little bit towards that D back scenario. And then Valkyrie can just make a move, throw something into that character, do a charge attack, and then move right back to the Extremis. And, I mean, if you're getting that much work from someone who's just sitting back there, I mean, that's an insane amount of value.
I agree. Not hard to sell me on Valkyrie maneuvers. But I think this is also a good one to almost do kind of a similar thing with Gwen. With her mobility, she can get around to so many places. I think when you say you position, say we're doing like a Zemo or something, and you put one of those charging characters as far forward as they can get, then you also have Gwen sitting back there, so she could like, oh, someone moves forward, tries to get an attack on them, she can, you know, lifesaver them backwards, or at any point she can like move, take her long movement, webline someone forward, kick him in the face, and then still make a long move away. She just gets into so many places. Like, I love the idea of also webline, or webline is right. Webline is right in this situation. All right. So she webline someone forward, like kicks him in the face, and then she gets the long move past them and go like camp their own spot. Like, I think her maneuverability is going to be great, great on a crisis like this.
Absolutely. Yeah. Maneuverability. I mean, you know, movement and movement shenanigans is what you want in Extremis. An honorable mention. Everybody knows Hawkeye's fantastic at just sitting in that back objective. So, yeah, I mean, anything that you're getting movement on, you know, good movement shenanigans, they love the Extremis or D scenario.
For sure. All right. Well, let's talk about Spider Infected. I think this is one that people don't play often enough. You have a full like five characters, or you have five different extract points to like go after, and nobody can hold multiple. Who's your primary pick for Spider Infected?
So my primary pick is a group of three characters. It is Valkyrie, Killmonger, and Zemo. And of course, it's because they have a charge. So if they get moved by the Spider Infected, you don't feel near as bad. They just charge right back in to where they were, and they do the work they were going to do. I think they mitigate a lot of the negative, outcomes Spider Infected can have.
For sure. I'm going to take my answer to this one kind of a totally different direction. And I'm going to say I really like what Okoye does for rosters and teams with this crisis, where sometimes you kind of want an extra character in this crisis. You really kind of want to hit the five characters, so you have some flexibility as to who's picking up extracts, that sort of thing. And Okoye is just a really solid two-threat character that you do not mind having hang back on a secure with an extract. As long as if she's scoring two VPs per turn, that is so great. And you still have a huge amount of your team able to do work. And I just think when you have her in your roster, it frees up your team design for this particular crisis and gives you a little bit more flexibility. So, but I'm also a huge Okoye fan, so it's I'll take her in just about anything. But whenever you have one of these things, it's going to make you feel like you're spread thin. I think Okoye can kind of fix that for you and start rounding things out. It'll like help you either hit that fifth character, or just like, oh, I wanted to be able to fit in this character. Maybe you want to try to fit in, like Nathan's suggestion, maybe you want to fit in Valkyrie, Zemo, and Killmonger, right? Like, you're trying to fit in all of them. Sometimes having a little two-threat character allows you to like maneuver that a little bit better. So,
yeah, and she has a range for attack too. So, you know, she gets moved, she can, you know, in a dire situation, she can still, you know, double tap whoever she was close to with that range for attack.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, who's your next pick?
So my next pick is Proxima. I think Proxima, again, I kind of went with people who can, even if they get moved small, who can get back to kind of where they were. Proxima can get moved. She could then do her spear throw That places her within one, so she's right back to where she was. Also, you know, she has Quantum Starburst, so even if she, you know, didn't want to use Spear Throw, she'll have a range 4 very powerful attack that she could do if needed be.
Agreed. I think Proxima has a lot of general utility just as being a solid 3-threat character that I think people often overlook.
Yep. I mean, anybody with -1 damage is good in my book.
Yeah. I mean, and she's just solid across the board. There's really not anything on her card to complain about.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to kind of flip my answer the totally opposite direction where I suggested like a cheap character. I'm going to say I like Hulk on this Crisis. He's one of the characters that is one of the safer characters to go after the center extract. And if you're running advanced R&D, it doesn't matter what affiliation you're in, you can set him up where you give him an extra power and Hulk can move, launch himself, just do his gamma toss, gamma launch.
Gamma leap.
Yeah, he just does his gamma leap. That puts him in range to grab the center one, and then he can still back off. And so you can have him like reasonably far back. And he's such a tanky character that if you get that spot early, people don't often want to just like start laying into Hulk at that range and give him extra power and start cranking up his damage output. And so that can carry you a long time and he can score a lot of points that way. And it's he just start throwing people away from him. I think that's one of my spots where I like Hulk and I think he'll impress people there.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, well, kind of like Spider Infected, let's do cubes. Let's see. I'm getting confused as to who's first on this one. I'm first on this one. Okay. You keep stealing all my opportunities to talk about Groot. So I'm going to Groot on this one. I love Groot in cubes, right? Yeah. He's one of my favorite people to pick up a cube because it means he can immediately either like root anyone or he can heal himself after it every turn if he wants to. And so there's a lot of situations where I don't like having Groot pick up an extract because it kills his ability to use his two power abilities on the second turn or on the second round. But cubes negates that. He takes a damage, goes down to 6 stamina, and now it gets to start the next turn with 2 power. And so I think Groot is amazing in cubes, and and again, it's another situation we're going to have damage spread around, which means that the We Are Groot could also get a lot of work out of you. Obviously, the character's going to be a little bit more spread out there, but it's easier for that card to heal himself and another character. And bonus healing cards are good. So, all right, like, man, who's your pick for cubes? Did I steal Groot from you? Or were you going to shout out Groot again?
He was on my list, but I wasn't going to shout him out this time. But I do think he's fantastic. So, no, man, I'm going to steal yours from last time. Who doesn't love Hulk with cubes, man? I mean, he wants to get the damage up. He wants the power. He is very tanky for them to try to steal the cube. I think Hulk is, you know, he may not be in the best spot in this game, but he certainly loves the extract of cubes.
All right. Well, I'm going to do another spicy like new drop. Doctor Strange. I think Doctor Strange is going to like cubes because one, he does not mind getting the extra power generation. He has above average survivability. Maybe not for that the threat level, but like as just a character holding a cube, he's got ability to heal. He's got ability to add defense dice. And so going after him is harder. But he is a character that can make use of that power no problem. He has so many great abilities that utilize extra power. And the ability for him to, like, well, heal someone else who's taken damage near him. It's just, I don't know. I think it kind of makes him sing and keeps all of his abilities really active. And he's got great ranged attacks, so he can kind of keep at a reasonable distance, keep your cube safe, even if they maybe do get to shoot him. You know, it may not be dropping it close enough for anyone to do something about it. I don't know. I think Doctor Strange in cubes is going to be a good pick.
Yeah, I think my other one is Thor. I think Thor is good with cubes. I mean, you combine Medpack and Patch Up in there. If you were playing him in Asgard, you can do Odin's Blessing, but I know this is more unaffiliated, but
I agree. There's one more that I didn't get a chance to mention on this one, but I think it's too good to not mention. Venom is really good in this one for the kind of the same reasons that Groot is. Normally, he's one of those tanky characters that wants their power and doesn't want to lose it. And so having him pick up an extract sometimes just feels awful, and it puts him in an awkward spot where he can't do the things that he wants to do. He can't lethal protector, he can't web snare, but in this one, it means he gets to pick it up, go down a stamina, and then be at true power the next turn, which likely means that if someone does attack him, it's easier for him to be in a position where he can We Are Venom and so many snacks in response. And I don't know, I think it also works really well for Venom. And if you're a Venom and a Spidey fan, I think Cubes is good for him.
Definitely. He was on my list too. So
yeah,
you covered the four people on my list, so that's good.
Makes sense. All right, let's hop over to Skrulls. Why don't you lead on this one?
I think you can almost put Skrulls and alien ship together, but we can certainly do them separate. I think there's one top dog on this and one top dog only, and that's Thanos with the Reality Stone, right?
I think that's totally reasonable.
I mean, he's by far has the, well, him or Corvus, whoever has the Reality Stone or Reality Gem, and you know, they're going to have by far the best chance to get it. Thanos is the hardest model to kill in the game, so I mean, good luck taking it from him. He's an absolute beast at that one.
I agree. I 100% agree. So my pick for this one is Miles. And I think to a certain extent that's somewhat obvious because of the fact that he can Venom strike someone. So when there's only one, he can kind of go for a more central position. His stealth keeps him alive. You can conserve a lot of power on your team and kind of let your opponent waste power and go after the, you know, go after the extract, knowing that at some point you're just going to take it from him anyway. But you are not wasting any of the power generation to do it. So you kind of just get Miles into a good spot, maybe conserve power on him so that he can Venom strike at the right time. But also because the restriction to short movement, the fact that he has webline when he does have the scroll, I think he's hampered by it less. He's got stealth. He's got the web swing. So he can kind of get around. I think if you see... I mean, I think Miles is going to fit into a ton of teams. And so if you think that, or if you're in the situation where your opponent's dropping this on you and you're like, we're going to play Skrulls, I think Miles is an absolutely fantastic pick for any team.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. Who's your spicier pick?
So I like Black Widow, 2-point Black Widow on this. You know, if she gets it, it lowers her speed to speed small. But with the fact that she's usually going to get this like on a flank, no one really goes and attacks Black Widow. Let's be honest. So usually she's kind of on her own and she can just grab this thing and run away. She has stealth. So people, you know, if you're trying to catch her, people can, you know, not get as good of a shot on her. So I think she's a pretty good honorable mention for this, the 2-point Black Widow.
Well, my answer also has Black in the title, but I'm going to say Black Dwarf.
Ooh.
I think Black Dwarf is surprisingly good in this one. He likes to get into the middle of the table anyway, and if he ends up with it, he is just one of the most beefy characters for his threat level, and forcing people to be like, I have it. Like, I might even mission objective this to Black Dwarf if you're able to get it, because nobody wants to be feeding power to Black Dwarf. Like, that's just an awful plan. And he can throw people pretty far away. Like, if you come at him, he could just be like, punch, throw you away, and then he walks away, and he's already got a short movement, so who cares?
Yeah.
I think he's one that, you know, I don't mind moving him up into the middle, having him go after it, because it's kind of the direction he wanted to go anyway. So,
well, I think he'd be a solid. He's small anyway, so I mean, even if he has really no hindrance from actually having it either. So
he literally none. he paints a target on his chest, which is the way he likes it anyway. He's like, yeah. Come get some. All right, I dig it. All right, so that moves us to Hammers. So there is, man, picking the characters for this one was a little hard. I'm going to say that I could probably make a list of like 15 characters I love for this one. I got to go with my boy Black Panther for this one. He's, every time I get a hammer on him, it's so dumb because I'm always mantling anyway. So the moment his strike is six dice and he's rerolling as many as he wants, and because he strikes so often, he's always getting extra power out of it, which kind of negates the downside where he has to spend extra for tactics cards because he's going to generate a crap ton of power anyway. And he's a little more tanky than the average character. And so having him holding the extract is also pretty solid. So in general, I think Black Panther, any team could take Black Panther and get good work out of him. And I mean, he can go after the one in the middle. He's one of the characters that does not mind getting up there. And so sometimes you need a character with a little extra, you know, a little extra umph.
Yeah, as long as MODOK's not on the other side, he can.
Or Hela.
He doesn't want to go in the middle of the table with those two staring him down. But I agree, he's very good at that.
Yeah, I've definitely had my Black Panther like ravaged by Hela.
Yep, for sure. So I absolutely love Doctor Strange with a hammer. I know he's kind of newer, but he is phenomenal with the hammer, man. He's got, so that takes his Bolts of Bedevilment up to a six dice attack, energy attack. It pushes with a damage. That push is just phenomenal because you can push them any way you want. You combine Eye of Agamotto into that, and I mean, that's a six dice energy attack that can do a ton of damage. You combine that with he's getting power generation from that damage. I absolutely love Doctor Strange with the hammer.
I can see that.
Yep, he's also tanky, he's harder to kill. He's a fairly difficult model to kill. He's just, obviously it gives him one extra dice to try to get a shield for extra power generation. He just loves having a hammer.
Yeah, there's lots to like there. All right, so my spicier pick is, I think Agent Widow is ridiculously good. So this is not Corset Black Widow. This is the new Agent Widow. Yes. I think, one, she's stealthy. So having her go up and grab one out of the middle is not as scary as it is for a lot of other characters. She's still got solid defensive stats for a three threat. And in fact, she's often going to make four attacks. So that one extra die, when it's like pushing, oh, I have four attacks at four dice is like solid. Four attacks at five dice is stupid.
I agree.
The only thing that's a downside is she doesn't get extra power out of it because she just generates a solid one. So she's not going into like crazy power generation town, which is probably the only downside there. But in general, I think if she's holding a hammer, or God forbid someone lets her have two hammers, oh man, she's just going to be interrogating people and murdering people across the board. I am surprised that Agent Widow is not making it into some of those unaffiliated slots more often. I think she's a solid pick and could easily fill in. I also wanted to mention tear gassing when it starts getting up to five or six die and they don't get any power generation off the damage. That's also dumb.
Yeah, so. That's real good. Any kind of area of effect or beam is going to be great with a hammer.
I agree. All right, man. So, who's your spicier pick?
So the old maligned Winter Soldier.
I like that.
Yeah, Winter Soldier's pretty good with the hammer. I mean, I think Winter Soldier, unfortunately, he needs a little help, but a hammer helps. His main problem is his attack is only a four dice attack, and it's physical, so it doesn't do a lot of damage. But taking it to a five, being able to, you know, out of activation shoot if somebody gets dazed with a five dice attack as opposed to a four dice, I think it really benefits Winter Soldier a lot.
I agree. I'm right there with you. All right. Well, we've got another one to talk about. And all of a sudden, I'm forgetting the actual name of this crisis, but I've been calling it Spider Portals. It's the one that comes with Miles. This is one we were meant to have a long time ago. It is a secure that's 18 threat, and so that expands things in itself, but it also has that interaction where it's kind of like Deadly Meteors. You've got to flip it with your energy defense, So, all right, man, who's your pick for Spider Portal? Since I get throwing the new one at you and being like, I hope you come up with a good idea, Nathan.
I like Hawkeye. This is another situation where he only has two energy defense, but all you're going to do is you want to walk up first turn, have him flip that back objective, and then from there, he has so much mobility to go on any of the other four objectives. That helps a lot. It also helps him keep him safe and get attacks. You know, those D scenarios, people are very spread out. So sometimes if someone, you know, spikes dice on one side, they might need some help. Well, guess what Hawkeye can do? He can hook arrow over there and double tap that person to try to help out with that side. Also, if someone is going to flip their objective and then leave it to go be aggressive and attack, Hawkeye can easily get back there pretty quickly with that hook arrow back there.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right. So my pick here, this is one we've mentioned a couple of times, but this is one where I'm like, Thor is going to be a baller here. I think Thor, we've already talked about the fact that he's got some nice synergy with the D threat crisis because he's got four Asgard. He's got a range five attack. He can double move and throw. But he's also a character that is no problem picking up an extract and interacting with a secure on turn one because he generates two power. But then he's also got the four energy defense to help with flipping this. And he's a high stamina character, so the one damage doesn't hurt him as much. I can't not mention Thor here. I think almost so many rosters are already bringing him. I think figuring out a way to work in Thor for Spider Portals is a fantastic pick.
Nice. Yep. My spicy take is you gotta throw her a bone, man. We gotta try to include everybody, but I think Captain Marvel is good on this one. She has the good energy defense to flip it. She's got a very good range four attack, which again, in these spread scenarios, range attacks are very valuable. She has a throw, so she can throw people off the portal before she flips it. We already talked about kind of in meteors where throws and pushes are very valuable to get people off before you flip it. So I think Captain Marvel's definitely got some merit to try in Spider Portals.
I agree. On the subject of spicy picks that we have not mentioned for any of the other ones, I like Doc Ock here. So hear me out. I know we haven't shouted him out for any of these other ones, but he's a three threat character with solid stamina and three energy defense. I know that's not the crazy four, but that still, anytime that you can kind of get an extra character, get someone who's not too expensive that can potentially hang back on yours. But because he's on the 50 millimeter base and is a medium move, when you do want him to cross the table, he goes really far. He crosses the board faster than you would expect. He's got a throw that he can do at range three. And so he can get himself into all sorts of great positions. And he's got the side benefit that if he rolls a crit when he's trying to flip, he gets a power. Yeah, so sometimes he'll just get the power back for interacting. And so not very many characters are in that position where they can do that. It's like him and Shuri can do it, and Strange, right? I think those are the three characters that have the ability to get a power back during the interact step. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a solid spot where Doc Ock will potentially shine, and he'll just fill out the roster nicely. Like, he's not too expensive. He just gets you a solid character in that spot. So I like Doc Ock there. Okay, so Evacuation. This is the crisis that came with Star-Lord. This is an extract. So, let's see. You started on the last one, so I think this is me. All right, I'm going to shout out the combo Corvus Proxima. I love the fact that this allows you to just take two extracts on one side, not just your side, but like on a side of the table, where the combination of them being able to right away be like, Proxima moves up, takes the one on your side, and then immediately activates Corvus, and he crosses the board, takes the one from your opponent, and he's up there in this face. And if they go after him to try to daze him, they're just going to load him up with power so that he can wreck him the next turn, because you're going to have priority. Like, it just does kind of everything that you want it to do. And I think when your opponent's not prepared for that, and sometimes you don't even have to do it, you just threaten it, and it, like, puts your opponent in a really awkward spot. So I really like the combination of the two of them, and they generate a lot of power. They're making a lot of attacks, so they can evac at the right point. They're within vulnerability. They soak up damage. I just think they're a great combo on evac.
I like it. So, I mean, when you think of citizens, you basically want power generation. I mean, you want people who are going to have the power to evacuate it and generate that power. I think Vision is really good at citizens. I mean, he's got one of the best power generations in the game. He also obviously can synthesize twice, and right there just gets you four power. So if he's only sitting on two power, he can get rid of it right there. He obviously can generate a ton of power with his beam and with his beam sapping power. So I think Vision is a very good citizen player.
I agree. So I'm also going to talk about, because sometimes when you play on this, you're going to have to deal with maneuvers like a Black Panther or anybody who's fast crossing the board and taking your extract from you. And when someone does that, you want to be able to cross the board with a really optimized character for that role. And so this is where I'm going to shout out my boy Ronin again. You don't have to plan to take your opponents, but if they take yours, Ronin is one of the best characters to cross the board and take theirs, because nobody wants to attack Ronin. Nobody wants to dump attacks into them and then get a Kree Justice during their own turn. It's just awful. And you can end up, as we talked about earlier in the episode, if they move up and they're like, say it's like evacuation and infinity formula, they like move up so they're on the secure so that they can then make an attack on Ronin. And then if they daze him and you're like, all right, universal weapon, and push them off the secure, they're like, ah, crap, now I'm not scoring. And yeah, you can have them, because you do the push before you drop the token, they've got to be like, well, now I'm out of position, I can't even pick it back up. So I think having Ronin around for this one, I like a lot. Obviously, you could power gem him, so he's got the extra power too to potentially evac stuff. But
yep.
All right, man. Who's your other pick?
Well, so my other pick, and unfortunately, I know this is an unaffiliated episode, but maybe somebody will take him in a non-affiliated roster where he's not the leader. But man, Red Skull is so good at citizens. I mean, to be able to just boom, get three power, it's just, obviously, in general, Cabal is phenomenal on this, but I think Red Skull is just a really good citizen scenario player.
It's weird that you think of, like, Red Skull being, like, really good at just taking care of a random dude, like, I'm gonna get you to safety. Red Skull, what's up, buddy? Like, you okay? Do you need a Snickers?
Yeah.
But I think in general, I think you hit on a key point. I think Red Skull is one of the leaders that should probably fit into some other rosters more often. His ability to teleport key ranged characters, I think is potentially real solid and something that's worth looking at.
He's no slouch attacking either. I mean, I've seen Red Skull take many of characters off the board.
He's got a push on his strike. Like, yep. He's got a five dice strike with a push. Mm-hmm. So I think Red Skull is one. I mean, I'm not sure how many people will do it because we've got so many characters now, but I'm kind of surprised that Red Skull doesn't make more non-Cabal rosters. But all right. So that rounds out evacuation. So we got one crisis left. Alien ship. So that you're first on this one. Who do you like for alien ship?
I again am going to be a boring repeat on who I like the best, but man, Thanos with reality. I mean, you just can't beat him. He is the best at flipping it. He's the most survivable. He doesn't mind if he takes that one damage from the. In fact, I think you can probably not take that damage. Correct with Thanos.
Nope, it's not an enemy effect. Okay. So he does still take the damage.
He does, but I mean, regardless, he's so hard to kill. I mean, I think the reality gem just can skew getting the actual is it the Kree power core or whatever it is. But I mean, it just skews that to such a high level. I think that you have to say Thanos reality.
Nope, I think that's the right pick, and we're kind of covering a range of options, but I still think it is important to mention the ones, even if we've talked about them multiple times in the episode. This is about giving the accurate information, and so this is kind of like Scrolls, where we said Thanos in reality, and I'm going to probably say the same thing I did before. Miles is great here, too.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and again, Miles, I can only move once. I still have web swing. I can still Venom strike it out of somebody's hand so that I can pick it up, and I'm a stealthy character with rerolls on defense. Like, it's a solid pick. Like, sneaking in Miles for one of these, I feel like a lot of time we're going to, like, see Miles in, like, every team on Alien Ship. Like, everyone's like, we're playing Alien Ship. Miles is going into my Flex 3. I like Miles here a lot, but we got a chance for some spicier picks. Who's your spiciest for Alien Ship?
So I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna say my girl Okoye. Again, it's kind of on the same sense of Black Widow, the two pointer. A lot of times you can put them on a side where there's really not a whole lot of people. So if they get this, they can kind of run away and just kind of collect that 2 points every turn. The other thing is Okoye. Within range two, I mean, she is extremely tanky for her threat level. So although you want somebody who is hard to kill, obviously I don't want to say, you know, Venom or Groot or Reality Corvus, because we've already said them. So I'm going to throw Okoye's name out there as kind of just a very deep sleeper.
I thought for a second you were going to steal my spicy pick, and I'm so glad that you didn't. I think Nebula is a fantastic one for this, because you're going to play at the higher threat level. So having a character that doesn't need to be like secure focused and doesn't need to be worrying about extracts, I think it frees up a lot of pressure to have Nebula on your team, where the fact that she can't interact isn't as big of a deal. And she gives you a character that can just hunt down and put constant pressure on people, where if someone does something like grabs it with Okoye or grabs it with Black Widow or grabs it with one of these fast characters, like, she'll start going to town on them. Like, Miles does not want Nebula chasing him down, because it's like, she's like, I got rerolls on my defense. She's like, I got rerolls on my attack. Like, she will make Miles hate himself. So
I love that pick. Yeah, I think that's a phenomenal pick. I think that she can, that is, hunt whoever gets the alien core. I think that is really good.
Or, I mean, even like if you have the alien core, then it gives you the ability to just like let Nebula just go be obnoxious on someone, because everyone gets to run those heavy support characters when you get up to 20 threat. So she can just like chase down and stun Shuri. Like, just like put pressure wherever you can and like make them deal with it. And I think it's so easy to take your 18 threat team and just be like, and here's Nebula, and I'm going to make you hate her.
Yeah, and you're not getting away from Nebula. I mean, long move, and then a range three attack. I mean, it's hard to get away from her.
Yeah, and if someone like goes for a play to like run away and Nebula chases them down, if you have taken control of the secure situation and you're ahead, you don't actually care if that token is just like dropped off in the middle of nowhere. And Nebula's like, I'll just make sure you don't ever pick it up. If someone starts moving over this way. So, I mean, there's some interesting things you can do with Nebula that I don't think as many people would expect. But all right, man, well, we covered all of them. Man,
we made it through.
We made it through the gauntlet, the infinity gauntlet of podcasts. But I hope that was really great information for everyone, and I hope this kind of like rounds out your plans. You know, if there's one of these crises that you haven't quite wrapped your brain around, be interesting to listen to this afterwards. And there's only a few characters that like didn't get shouted out specifically for any of these. Like, I know we didn't say Cap, we didn't say Star-Lord, Drax didn't get mentioned specifically, or Gamora, but almost every other character, like, we hit a lot of them.
Yeah, and I tried to spread it out a little bit, but we, of course, like you said, we wanted to hit who are really top dogs at this, and who should you really be considering taking if you're looking at playing one of these crises.
For sure. But I mean, we hit most of the characters. Almost every character got mentioned here for one reason or another. There's not that many that didn't. So
yep.
I'm feeling pretty good about this one. So Nathan, I'm so glad you're able to hop on and do this episode with me. I think this is going to be one of the stronger OP episodes.
Absolutely. It's a blast. Thank you very much for having me on. I love your show. You do such great content, and it was a ton of fun.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the support. And listeners, always like check out Nathan's games when he's getting streamed in the TTS League. They're always high level play. And obviously I don't shout out the Patreon every episode all the time, but I am releasing, you know, Patreon episodes every week. So if you want extra OP, all the people that are recording the show with me love helping out, giving you guys some extra content, wanting to grow the community. And after this, Nathan and I are going to talk about some predictions and stuff for the next TTS League. So that's going to be super exciting. So again, Nathan, thank you for recording this with me, man. I really appreciate it.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. And, listeners, I think the most OP thing that you can do is probably bring some of these two threat characters that we shouted out so many times through this whole episode. Two threats, they're OP.